City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Windy City Queer Cast, show number 193. I'm Amy Matheny, and here with me again is
Alexandra Billings from Hollywood.
Hi, baby.
Hi, honey.
Twice in 1 week. How fun is this?
Isn't that nice? Time goes by so slowly.
We've had high tea twice this week. I love having high tea with you.
Isn't that high tea?
High tea. We used to have high tea at the Drake, didn't we?
Oh, once God. Upon a time.
Didn't we do Lesbi Gay Radio from High Tea at the Drake?
Oh, sweet Lord. It's so good, those days.
Those days. Hey, this is going to be a fabulous, fun fucking show because Amy Sedaris is on. Love her. She's crazy. You know that?
She's genius. She's brilliant. I don't know if she remembers me, but she and I knew of each other when she was at Second City.
Yeah.
When I used to hang around Jackie Hoffman and Dorfmeister and Rose Abdu and everybody, and I was hanging with that crowd. Mm. She was just she was one of those people that, like, every time she got on stage and I would sit and I would watch her, I would go, Oh, that's what I wanna be. That's what I wanna do. So I don't know. She and I ran into each other in closets, literally. People's houses. I'm not kidding you, literally. There's one time we went to somebody, it was Stephen Colbert's party or something, and I was in the closet making out with somebody or something, and
ooh,
she came in, or was she making out with somebody? I don't remember. One of us was doing something.
There were too many
nasty
drugs going on.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's so funny. I love that you were maybe in the closet with someone making out, or Amy Sedaris was with someone in a closet making out.
I can't remember.
So you can't remember?
Ago. I really can't.
Hey, you know, speaking of a long time ago and working at Second City, I hear rumor that you are reprising a role in Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. Is this what's happening out in L.A.?
Do you freaking believe that?
I can't fucking believe that. My girlfriend knew this information and I didn't know this information. She's like, ask Alex about it, but I think she's doing Vampire Lesbians. Tell me about this show. I mean, I know the show, but I mean, tell me about this production.
It's literally a 2-night production. It's happening actually tonight, I think, and next Friday, the 28th, which is my birthday, by the way.
It is. Send chocolate and flowers. That's what Alex likes.
I'll be 29. And this show, I started doing this show in 1987.
Oh, that's good God.
It's the first time I did Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. And Charles Bush, who was the writer, didn't want me to star in it because he said that it was written for a man in drag. And that's exactly what he said to me. And he stopped the production from happening for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. He would not give us
the
rights because I was playing the lead.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
I never knew
and
that.
Then, He doesn't like to sort of remember this story. And then, God, if he hears this, he's going to kill me.
How many
because
people
now
can you say that to, Alexander Billings?
Well, now
he
he's
does not
great.
Like to hear that story because you've got a mind like a steel trap and you've lived a lot of life.
I've lived a lot of lives too, but I just wanted to say that now he's fantastic. Now he couldn't care less.
Yeah,
he's got more important things to think about. But you know, this was a long, long time ago. Anyway, so I did the show then, and then I did it again. And then it ran for like a year and a half. And then I did it again when it went up. And then it ran for a year and a half. And then I did it again, and it ran for forever. And then I directed one. And then so here, this guy out of the blue at this theater that I'm sort of becoming very chummy with called the Bootleg Theater, which is on Beverly, called me up. His name is Don. And he called me up and he said, I have this great idea. Have you ever done Vampire Lesbians of Sodom?
Have I ever done Vampire Lesbians of Sodom? You should see my Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. It's legend.
Exactly. That's.
I am so Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. If I was only a vampire, this would be my story.
What was so funny is like he thought he had come up with the most brilliant idea on the planet. And so I said, well, yeah, I've done it. And he said, oh, well, we should do it again. We're just going to do it for two nights and see if there's interest in mounting a full production. And I said, listen very closely to me. If you put this show up, and I'm just saying, I don't know why, I don't have a reason for you, but here's what I'm telling you. Having done this show now for 20 years,
Wow. If
you put this show up, it will never stop running. And he kind of went, oh, no, we're just going to put it up for 2 days. I said, if you put this show up, it will never stop running. So he thinks it's just going to run for 2 days. That's what he thinks.
Who's in it? Did somebody tell me that Kathy Griffin's in it?
Judy Tenuta and Kathy Griffin and a couple of other people are interested when it goes up as a full-scale production. I'm actually not playing the virgin. I'm playing the other role. I'm playing the succubus, which is the only reason I wanted to do it because I had never played that role before. And it's actually a really fun role because it's far less work.
Yeah.
But these women are actually friends of his. And so his idea, which I think is kind of brilliant, is when it goes up in September, that the role of the virgin will be a rotating name role, that different women will come in and play the virgin like every couple of months, and I'll just play the succubus for a year and a half.
How fun is that?
I'm telling you, it's never going to stop running. Nobody believes
that. That is great.
I think I'm crazy. They don't understand.
Do you like celebrating a birthday?
Run on. What?
I said, do you like celebrating your birthday?
I used to before I turned 30.
Before you?
I don't like it anymore, Amy. I really
no.
don't. No,
yeah.
I don't. I like getting presents. That's fun.
Yeah.
And I love the whole celebration of, hooray, you were born. And then in the middle of all this joy, I go, I'm everyone's grandmother. So,
but can we say this? You've been living with AIDS for how long?
Oh, Jesus. Since 1985, 1986 probably. Yeah.
How long is that? So, I can't do math.
That's, oh, Jesus Christ.
86, 22 years.
23 years, something like that. Yeah, long time.
That's unfucking believable, Alex.
That's strange because you know what was weird is when I was diagnosed, you know, nothing was out. When I was diagnosed, the doctor came in and said, okay, look, here's the deal. You have this thing, this cancer that's killing people. And so we really don't have a cure for it. You don't have a lot of time left. And I said, well, do you mean like I have what, like a couple of years left? And they said, no, probably months. So I would get your things in order. And, you know, if you want to do anything, I would do it. Literally, this is what the doctor said to me.
Wow.
When I was. So I just figured, well, there we are. That's the hand we've been dug.
But you know what? You live your life like that now, and you have been for 22 years. And I mean, the kind of vast embracement. Is that even a word? The vast, like,
that's a good word.
I don't know. I'm doing a gesture, and that fucking doesn't work on a podcast.
Fantastic.
But
gesture.
Kind of, yes.
Gesture your tits
but
off.
But you live this kind of vast, open, just embracing your desire and your want and what's important and what's essential, and you're so fucking honest. And I mean, that has probably been the gift of this thing to you, because I think you live your life like it's do what you want to do. You got a few more months. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really think of the people I know, you live your life like that, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's lovely that you said that, and I appreciate that. I don't know exactly how true all of that is, but I, you know, because I, you know, I lie on occasion, and, you know, I have my days.
I don't mean that you're honest with others. I just mean, well, you know what I mean.
Well, you know, I know what you mean. Yes. No, I know what you mean. I guess. I guess.
Perfect. I'm not calling you motherfucking Teresa or anything. I'm just saying you live your life with abandon, and yet at the same time, not recklessly, but with, like, this is the essentials. My relationship, my work, my friends, my joy, the things that bring me joy. I don't have time for bullshit. And you live your life like that. And I don't think very many people do that I know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, Mitchell Fain, who, you know, is one of our closest friends on the planet, he said something to me that was really prophetic. And this was not very long ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And we were talking about Christmas and plans and things and, you know, family and stuff. And I said, we were doing something and I couldn't remember what it was. And I said, oh God, we have to do this thing. And, you know, I love Christmas and I don't particularly want to do this thing, but I was talking about Chris Ann and I, but we have to, and we're obligated, and I'm really pissed off about it. And Mitchell said, you know what I'm going to do on Christmas? I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to order some Chinese. I'm going to go watch, you know, the opening of some film that hopefully Barbara Streisand will be in. Then I'm going to, you know, like, sit around and watch TV and really just celebrate this holiday the way I want. And he really made a point of saying, I don't let anyone tell me how to live in my joy. And that has stuck with me. And that really was not that long ago. And ever since he said that, it's so funny. Ever since he said that, that's exactly how I live my life now. I weigh the options and I say to myself, I mean, I just had this conversation a couple of days ago. Somebody said to me, one of my friends, I have a voiceover agent and you need to get a thing together and you need to come do this voiceover. It's really easy and great money. And I said, I have no desire to do that. Oh, yeah, but it's great money. No, I don't want to do that. Yeah, but it's really good. And it's listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to. So I'm very clear now about saying no to people.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether
There's
or not.
There's a power in that, though. I got a book called The Power of a Positive No, because I need to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You do that very well.
I do, actually. But it took me a while, Amy, seriously, to figure out how to do that. I mean, you've known me for a long time. And you remember when I used to do 4 or 5 shows in a row and benefits and all kinds of things. And it really got to the point. And, you know, I had been diagnosed by then. I don't know that it really was. I mean, the AIDS, of course, changed my life. Of course it did. But it really was. I attribute it to growing up. Yeah. You really get to a point in your life. I'm in an age right now where
At 29. About to enter your 30s.
That's correct. Where literally I turn to people and go, you know what? I am too old for this bullshit. And I leave.
Yeah.
I don't even concern myself with this, with anything that doesn't bring me joy. Mm-hmm. I really believe it has to do with age. I'm much more settled in my own skin. I feel really good about being in my own skin. And I'm not going to bother with people that want me to do things that aren't going to make me happy.
Well, I want to say happy birthday to you early.
Thank
right
you,
here
Johnny.
For everyone to hear. I also want to have a footnote and say Mitchell's Jewish.
Mitchell's so Jewish.
He celebrates Christmas a lot different than some of us who have obligations on that holy of holy days. But
that's
I
true.
Do love the Mitchell living his life with joy. And, you know, I think his Christmas sounds fabulous. I just think I should be able to do that on a Saturday.
That's
just
true.
A random Saturday that I don't have 40 other things to do. Go get some Chinese food with Mitchell, watch a movie with Barbara Streisand, sit in my fuzzy slippers. I do that more and more now that he's in the house, but he's actually leaving here in a couple of days as well for his big tour of the Mediterranean and Second City tour, so it's fabulous.
Fantastic.
Well, speaking of Second City, she was in Chicago working with the Second City and also the Annoyance Theater, and now she's coming back to Chicago for a very rare visit to help benefit Lifeline Theater. Coming up in our show, Amy Sedaris. I cannot stand it. She's here with us, so keep listening, and Alex, thanks for chatting.
Love you like I love my luggage.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like you love your labia, but happy birthday anyhow.
I keep my labia in my luggage.
That's a good place for it.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player, yeah.
A little friendly competition never hurt anybody. Unless that anybody happens to be the person you're covering.
Bring the pain!
Hands, no. Blazing speed, no. Unresolved anger after being cut from the football team 17 years ago? Big time.
I still have issues.
When it comes to two-hand touch, you leave it all out on the field. Your blood, your sweat, your dignity.
Overrated.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, backyard bruiser. The way you play the game will always leave us in stitches.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 17th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Court Theater reimagines one of the greatest musicals of all time, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel, now playing through April 13th. When carnival barker Billy Bigelow meets mill worker Julie Jordan, fate sends them both on a journey that spans heaven and earth as they explore the limits of love, human frailty, and redemption. For tickets, visit courttheater.org.
Writers Theater presents As You Like It by William Shakespeare, directed by William Brown. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. A courtship with a twist, men in exile, a melancholic wit, a clown, a lovesick shepherd, and the shepherdess who spurns him all swirl together in a wild romp. Some of the most charming scenes ever in this most perfect of comedies. For more about As You Like It, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Bronte by Polly Teal. This inventive drama explores the question of how a trio of Victorian spinsters could have written some of the most passionate literature of all time. Bronte plays now through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumbo.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, radio listeners. I want to take you to a place far, far away, a theater. Go ahead, close your eyes. Unless you're driving, that would be bad, but otherwise, go ahead, close your eyes. You're walking into the theater. You're going to see that musical that all your friends have raved about, a musical that has received love letters from critics, tons of Tony Awards, and thunderous ovations every night. You settle into your seat, you're told to turn off your cell phones, and you do so, and then it begins. This marvelous, comedically inspired piece of theater full of delightful songs, madcap moments, and an ultimately moving climax. You laugh, cheer, applaud, and then it happens. You finally discover what that crazy, somewhat obscure title refers to, for at last, she stands before you in all her somewhat inebriated glory, the drowsy chaperone. Radio listeners, believe me when I tell you, you are in for an extraordinary treat. The Drowsy Chaperone. Unusual title, perhaps. Unforgettable evening, most definitely.
Coming to the Cadillac Palace Theater April 1st through 13th. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Only my eyes are the same.
And this is your Windy City Queercast news. Jesse Kern, son of the Oklahoma U.S. Representative Sally Kern, who recently made anti-gay comments, denied media reports that he is gay. The representative's son says that information that he is gay is false. He added that he practices celibacy and is straight, but his views of homosexuality differ from his mother's.
Sounds like he's not practicing. A prominent gay advisor to Senator Barack Obama resigned after his blistering anti-Clinton email surfaced. A member of Obama's GLBT Leadership Council, Maxine Thorne, resigned after reports of an email blasting presidential hopeful Clinton surfaced. The email was sent to hundreds of people via a listserv. The email mentioned former President Bill Clinton's extramarital affairs and demanded that the presidential candidate disclosed where she was when Monica was having sex with Bill.
Oh, we all remember where we were when Monica was having sex with Bill. A study conducted by the Williams Institute on Sexual Orientation, Law, and Public Policy estimates that one-third of same-sex Irish couples are living in the U.S. About 1,200 Irish-born same-sex couples are living in the States. Roughly 2,000 same-sex couples live in Ireland. The Irish government recently announced that it will enact a civil partnership law. The study estimated that roughly 500 Irish-born non-U.S. citizens might return to Ireland if the country will legally recognize their partnerships.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu will be the next recipient of the New York-based International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission's Outspoken Award. A Nobel Peace Prize recipient and a pioneer for human rights, Tutu has done a large amount of human rights work in South Africa. In recent years, he has been very vocal about challenging anti-gay discrimination, likening it to apartheid. The award ceremony is in San Francisco on April 8th.
UPS announced that it is expanding its supplier diversity program to include GLBT-owned businesses through a partnership with the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. The company's supplier's diversity process provides UPS businesses opportunities for small businesses owned by minorities, women, veterans, and GLBT people. Businesses certified can register to participate. The organization currently represents about 1.4 million GLBT-owned businesses. They hope the announced expansion will help more GLBT businesses grow.
Logo launched a public service announcement meant to combat hate crimes, featuring big names in the entertainment business. The PSA comes in the wake of the February murder of openly gay junior high school student Lawrence King. Included are Outkast's Andre 3000, singers Ashanti Janet Jackson, actress Portia de Rossi, actor T.R. Knight, and more. The spot will be seen on Logo and other MTV networks and brands.
Openly lesbian tennis champion Martina Navratilova regained her Czech citizenship over 30 years later. Navratilova's citizenship was revoked by communist authorities in 1976. The tennis star received U.S. citizenship in the early 80s. Now Navratilova plans to open a tennis camp for youth in the Czech Republic. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hi, this is Nicola Griffith, author of Always, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Someone help us, please.
Actress and author Amy Sedaris is coming to Chicago April 10th, and it's a rare appearance you do not want to miss from the extraordinary talent that is Amy Sedaris. From her hilariously fresh and provocative series, Strangers with Candy, to her latest book, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence, which has taken Amy from Letterman's couch to Martha Stewart's kitchen. Amy proves you can wear many hats and wear them all with great panache. Hey, Amy, how are
Hi.
You?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I need to ask you, because I live in Chicago now, but I was primarily raised in Tennessee. I want to know, are you a Southerner or a New Yorker now?
Well, when I'm in North Carolina, I say I'm a New Yorker. When I'm in New York, I say I'm from North Carolina.
So you're kind of that Woody Allen, I don't want to be a part of a group that would have me.
There you go.
So tell me, being from Tennessee myself, you being from North Carolina, what was it like working with Dolly Parton on her new video, Better Get to Livin', and how did that happen?
The director, Flip, was looking for me. So he went to a couple neighborhood merchants to try to get in touch with me, and he did, and I got back in touch with him, and he offered me this part, and I'm a big fan of hers, and then once I met with him and the wardrobe, the guy who was going to make all my costumes, I was like, oh, this is great, and then I got to work with a monkey, too, so between a monkey and Dolly Parton, I was like, this is a fantasy, but it was a lot of fun. I'd never worked on a video before, so the whole experience was really nice, and she was incredibly sweet. I really liked her.
Did you trade craft tips? Because I think of Dolly as kind of herself, she's her own work of art, you know?
Mm-hmm, right. No, we didn't trade anything like that. I talked to her for a little bit in her camper where it was just the two of us, but we didn't really, she was on set the whole time, so we just found that little bit of time to talk a little bit.
Yeah, I thought you might teach her how to store her eyelashes or give her a personal copy of your book.
Yeah, I did give her a copy of my book.
Good.
I did, actually, yes. But I didn't, I didn't teach her anything.
Well, yeah, I think you could have, and not many people can teach Dolly Parton much. You're in this new drama, Snow Angels, that's coming out this month, starring Kate Beckinsale, and it's getting such amazing reviews. Tell us, who are you playing in this, and this is obviously a bit of a different side to you that people are getting to see.
Right. I play Barb, Kate Beckinsale's character's best friend, and we both work in a Chinese restaurant. And she has an affair with my husband, but I kind of forgive her, you know, because her child goes missing, and then we find out that her child dies. So, you know, which I think I would do in real life, too. I mean, I think, you know, you kind of rise to the occasion when your best friend needs you, no matter what, you're going to be there for. But it was a really great experience. And it was fun being on the set that was so serious. I mean, I like, you know, to go for the laugh, and it was very hard not to do that. But still, my part was light enough. It wasn't like I had to cry or fight like an attacker off me or anything like that.
Yeah. But I think people are going to be really surprised to see you in this movie. I was surprised. I just read a review last night about it in Entertainment Weekly, and then I was just looking up some information for you before we talked today, and I was like, I had no idea she was in Snow Angels. I'm so intrigued by this film even more now.
Yeah, it's good. It's real depressing, so it's really good.
So you're going to be in Chicago for this benefit, April 10th, at the Chicago Cultural Center for Lifeline Theater. Now, you're going to be doing a bunch of different things. They say you're going to be doing your craft demonstrations, and I hear you're going to be doing the creation of an eye burrito, and I want to know what an eye burrito is.
It's a pantyhose craft that's in my book where you fill it with beans, and I'm going to decorate it with some felt eyes, and it's just something you put over, you know, you cradle over your face to soothe the puffiness underneath your eyes. So I'm gonna teach somebody how to make that, and then I'll think of something else, and then take some questions from the audience.
Well, I think that it's amazing that you're gonna be taking questions from the audience because
I love to do that.
So I want to ask you some. Can I ask you some now at this point?
Okay.
What would you want to be asked that no one ever fucking asks you?
Oh, I can't. I just had a 7-year-old ask me when does summer start, and I thought that was a pretty good question.
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? And I didn't know. I didn't know the answer. I said, "Oh, just hold tight. I guess you got 3 or 4 more months." But is it in June? June? When is the first?
I think
day
it's in June.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just sent him a calendar.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know.
And
but I thought that was a good question,
and
no one's
question.
Ever asked me that. Yeah.
Nobody had ever asked you. Well, my gay friend and Greg, who actually lives in New York, but he had me here in Chicago ask you this question. He wants to know how he can arrange to have a child with you without actually having to have a lot of direct physical or personal contact with you.
It's just not going to happen. He
it's
might
not...
as well get it out of his head right now. It's just not going to happen.
No.
Physical or mentally, it's not going to happen.
He's going to be devastated. Greg. It's sad that you're so close there in New York with him and yet so far away.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I want to know, does Piglet have any feelings on the upcoming presidential campaign? Hillary, Obama, McCain?
She doesn't give a furry fuck. That's what.
Not a furry fuck.
Doesn't give a furry fuck about it.
No?
Piglet doesn't care. No. And that's all I'll say for Piglet because she's foul and I don't want to offend anybody. But
hey,
yeah,
you can
I don't,
be foul on this. We're a podcast.
Okay.
I don't
think she really cares.
She doesn't care.
I really don't think that she even thinks about it.
So how about Amy?
It's been interesting. I mean, now they're just kind of, you know, digging up trash about each other. And it's kind of like, oh, come on. Can't we just have a sophisticated election can't we just do something here? You know, but I just, you know, I'm kind of following it, and then I get bored with it, and you know what I mean? Turn it back on, and, you know, I'm not really good at keeping up with the news. But, you know, it's good that everyone's up for a change, and I think, and they seem excited that there will be some kind of change, and that's all that matters.
How's your rabbit?
She's doing great. Yep, Easter's coming up, and the House Rabbit Society has this new slogan called, I think we prefer the chocolate kind or something like that, where they're trying to get people not to adopt rabbits for their kids for Easter just because they're bad pets for kids, because they're prey animals and kids are so quick and fast and it freaks a rabbit out. So they're trying to get the message out that, you know, just buy the chocolate kind and don't bother getting a real rabbit for Easter, because then they grow, then they just dump them after Easter, and then they have to find homes for these rabbits.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get the word out there because it's my job.
That is your job.
Yeah, it's my job. Full-time job
taking care of the rabbits of the world.
Yes.
Now, you're going to be signing your New York Times bestseller, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. And I'm just so glad you wrote it because it includes so many practical tips that you just do not find in other hospitality books.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know just what was a couple of the burning things that you thought, I have never heard this in a hospitality book and it must be there.
Oh, I guess I didn't really think of it compared to other books. I just thought that I would just, whatever chapter I was on, is like, what do I know about this?
Yeah.
And then if it led me to something else, then it led me to something else. And then I just seemed like it would be perfect underneath that umbrella. So I guess it just kind of developed, you know what I mean? It, in the process, the book just came alive as I was working on it. And then once I had the mock-up book and was visually putting it together, more things would be like, oh, you know, here's an empty space. I can put something here, and you know what I mean? So it's kind of just the theme alone. Just so many things fell underneath it. So
it wasn't because you thought Martha Stewart did not have the market covered. It was just that... Did somebody approach you about doing a hospitality book, or just
everybody loves
your hospitality, and so this became the theme of this book?
I just entertain a lot, and I had a lot of recipes, and I knew I just wanted to do a visual book and write about something I felt I knew enough about.
Yeah.
And that's really all. And I did look at old books, but, you know, with Martha Stewart, I've never seen any of her books before, but... You know, I was more inspired by the ladies. You know, I remember when the books my mom had at home when we were growing up, like Betty Crocker and stuff.
Yeah.
And I figured, you know, people who can't read would enjoy the book just because visually it's exciting. So I just kept that in mind when I was working on it.
Do you love spring? Is this a good time for party throwing and new foods to make?
I guess I like all the seasons, you know, and I like living somewhere where you get four of them. I like them each. I mean, my least favorite summer, I think. I just don't care for summer holidays, and I just not a big fan of the heat. But,
no.
But I like them all. It's just my least favorite.
So now you have made it, so to speak, because you are gracing the pages of Vanity Fair in April with the feature of a lot of funny ladies, from Sandra to Tina and Wanda. Sounds like women ending in "uh." Did you ever dream that you would be there, a fashion and funny icon?
No, it was so nice that they gave me a call, and I love all those girls. I think they're all really, really funny. I haven't even had a chance to open the issue. I mean, I've seen the picture, but I haven't read anything, so because I've been away, but I'm sitting on my coffee table, so I can't wait to read it. But it was a lot of fun to do that shoot. Yeah.
Now, did you come up with your idea of the shoot, or how does that happen? How do they go, this is what
well, that
we
was
are
their,
going to photograph?
That was the photographer's idea, and we went with it. But normally with photo shoots, I like to have my idea, and then I kind of talk to the photographer and we come up with something, just because I like to be creatively involved. But this was out of my hands.
Yeah. And in capable hands. It's going to be a fantastic spread. So talk to me. What is your connection with Chicago? I know that you were a company member here at Second City and the Annoyance Theaters, correct?
Uh-huh.
So
yes.
How long were you in the city, and what's some of your favorite things about Chicago?
Well, I like Chicago. It was like the first place I moved out of North Carolina, so I was still pretty fascinated by it. You know, like all the different neighborhoods, how big it was, and I liked the working class people, and I liked that you got, you know, it was like a walking city, you know, and I just liked the energy of it, and it's in all the tall buildings, and my brother was living there, and yeah, then I worked at Second City. I think I was there like 5 or 6 years, and then I came here. But I never went back to visit till like like maybe recently, in the last year and a half or something, but I was amazed at how clean it is. And a lot of the old stores are still there. And you know, here everything changes so much. But it was nice to go back and see, you know, see some of the stores still standing. And I was just really, really impressed with how clean it was.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city.
And I love
it?
The people there. Yeah, it's beautiful. People are really nice. Again, they're working class people, and I love that. And
do you have any favorite haunts? I mean, is there like a favorite place you like for food, or a favorite shops, or favorite street?
I liked, I still, every time I go back, go to that Athenian candle shop on Houston Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite places to go, and I went there. Restaurant-wise, I worked at Cafe Barbariba. I don't know if that's still around.
Yeah, it is on Halstead.
Yeah. So restaurant-wise, I didn't go into any restaurants, but and I could barely remember any of the names. But there were a lot of nice shops there that I liked. I liked the shops on Clark Street, and they had really good vintage stores.
Is that what you like to do when you go to a city? Do you like to hit the vintage shops?
I do.
Fine
I just
dresses.
Like see my eyes peeled, you know, and like all the stuff in my book was from my apartment. So I tend to collect things. So, you know, I'm always keeping my eyes open.
Well, it's a great city to do that, and I know they're going to mm-hmm. really enjoy you being here. What is next for you? You mentioned your brother, and I know that you all have written plays together. Any more opportunities to connect with your brother, David? He was actually just here in Chicago as well, trying
right.
out some material for a new book at Steppenwolf.
Yeah, we don't have any plan. We never really plan too far in advance. I mean, with him being there and me being here, it's kind of harder to sit around and throw out ideas. But, you know, maybe down the road we'll do something else, but we don't have any plans to right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, do you feel like your brother kind of ingratiated you to the gay community, or do you think you've made your own forays into the gay community? I mean, once you've hit a Dolly Parton video, you become sterling in the community, I believe.
Right. Well, I think Jerry Blank was a big help in that, attracting the gay audience and Misfits and Outcasts. You know, she certainly lured them. But I mean, as well as the stuff I do with David. But yeah. I don't know.
No, Jerry Blank. I want to ask this because you bring this up. You know, I know when you were starting Strangers with Candy, it was this big thing about using the word faggot. And of course, since the time you started that word became like this watershed, right? I mean, awful people using it, like Ann Coulter, and then television stars using it and denying using it and all of that. What do you think it is about this word? Because you're able with Jerry Blank to cross lines that are so politically inflamed, and also at the same time smart and shocking. Was that a really big conversation?
I mean, there were a couple of conversations we had to have, sure, when we were writing it, but sometimes I think that they were more against certain things just because they wanted to lay down some ground rules at first. You know, like we couldn't say something in episode one, but we could say it in episode four.
Sure.
I think they were just trying to set up boundaries with us. You know what I mean? Then after a while, I think, you know, it was they trusted us a little bit more. You know what I mean? Because Jerry wasn't, I mean, she was still likable somehow. You know what I mean? It wasn't like an Andrew Dice Clay kind of a situation.
Right.
So after a while, I think, you know, we tended to get away with a lot more. But in the beginning, I think they were just trying to test us. Like, you know, let's just wait.
Yeah, but I think you really broke down so many doors with that character and with that show and the amazing team that you had.
Well, we didn't write it thinking, I mean, we didn't have that intention. We just kept trying to create what made us laugh, you know, and if it made us laugh, it went in the script. So we weren't trying to be like, oh, let's try to be different and try to do this. No one else has done it. I mean, that's the good thing about working with Paul and Steven is, you know, when the three of us are together, it's just we're totally focused on whatever it is we're working on. And we don't think of the outside of it. And it was the same with my book. I just thought process. It never occurred to me that it was going to be in a store and someone was going to buy it. I just didn't think that way at all. So it was a big surprise to see it, and it was a big surprise, you know, that it was so popular. So that was a complete gift to me.
Well, and it sounds like because you're in the journey of your life, you're not thinking about the outcome. And
right.
being
you can't,
purely
really.
In that journey, you've had some amazing outcomes.
Yeah, I know. Very lucky.
Very lucky. What are you said you go for what you think is funny or makes you laugh. Who or what makes you laugh these days?
Oh, it can be anything from a gathering of toadstools or mushrooms will make me laugh, or someone falling down, or monkeys make me laugh. you know, skin disorders make me laugh. I mean, I can't think of anything that wouldn't really make me laugh. You know, I just tend to find the humor in everything. That's probably my problem.
Well, I don't think it's a problem. Like I think it's a great problem.
Well, sometimes it can be inappropriate, I guess.
Well, I think it's a great problem to have. I hope people will really come out because this is a unique experience. And it's also celebrating the 25th season of Lifeline Theater, which is an amazing company here in Chicago. The benefit with Amy Sedaris is Thursday, April 10th at 6:30 is when the event starts at the Chicago Cultural Center, 78 East Washington. Tickets are $100 and you can call 773-761-4477 for tickets or visit lifelinetheater.com for more information. And if you want more,
isn't it .org?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
It is .com on one of my documents.
Oh, because .org makes me laugh. Okay, go on. Sorry.
.org You're doing makes such you a good laugh.
.org.
.org. Net's not so funny, is it? .com seems rather sensible.
You're doing such a good job. I could never do that.
If you want more on Amy, the website I have for you is amysedarisrocks.com.
That's not my, someone else does that. I have nothing to do with that website. Just
you have
so you
nothing
know.
To do with that?
No, but this girl does, who I like a lot. She's really sweet, and she does a great job, but it's not my website. I mean, it's about me, but it's not. I have nothing to do with it.
Do you have your own?
No.
Well, then we'll go to Amy Sedaris Rocks and see if what the sycophants think of you. The ones who are in love with you think of you. Amy, thank you so much. And,
thank
and
you,
have
Amy.
A wonderful trip in Chicago. And we'll all see there and learn how to make an eye burrito. And everybody can ask you any question they want to ask. So come on out to the benefit on April 10th. And for more information, visit lifelinetheater.com. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.